Well, first of all, I greet you in the name of our blessed Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you once again for inviting me to come to share with you the word. And I trust that the Spirit of God will speak to our hearts, will comfort us, especially those who are going through much struggle in your Christian walk with God, and pray that the Spirit of God will show us the way to salvation. Let us pray. Holy God, we come before your holy presence to give thanks to you once again for salvation so rich and free. Thank you for your great love for us through your Son, the Lord Jesus. And thank you for the Spirit of God who dwells in us. Thank you for his ministry in our lives. And thank you for the way that he leads us, guides us, directs us every day. And thank you for the holy word that you have given us that we can read and commune with you. O Lord, we pray that we will not take all this for granted, but all the more, like King David, to have a holy desire to be in your holy presence, to seek your face, and to commune with you daily. O Father, may you fill me with your Holy Spirit, may you anoint my lips, as I bring forth your word to your people. Pray all this with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder how many of us here in this congregation have never had a depression. Anybody here who have had never experienced depression? Well, I believe that all of us at one time, experienced a depression. Depression, like bipolar, affective disorder, schizophrenia, schizoaffective disorder, and other psychiatric conditions, is a real disease. Depression is an extremely complex disease. We may not fully understand it. There is no guarantee every treatment works. Depression happens to all people, young and old, Christian and non-Christian. Of the Christian, some may ask, how can that happen? I thought Jesus had given us a full and meaningful life. And that's what he promised in John chapter 10, verse 10. He has come to give us life, super abundant life. I thought we are the blessed people on earth. How can we be depressed? This does not make sense. This sounds contradictory to the Bible. Do Christians get depressed? The answer is a resounding yes. The scriptures and the history of the church tells us that depression is a common phenomenon among God's people, especially people who are in leadership. King David was a good example. He desired to be in the presence of God, but he was far away from the temple in Jerusalem, as we read in Psalm 42. In verse 1, he said that as the hart panted after the water brooks, so panted my soul after thee, O God. He was far away, perhaps in a desert place. And his heart's desire was to be in the temple in Jerusalem to commune with God. As what we read also in Psalm 27, verse 4. This one thing I desire, and this is the one thing that I would like to do, and that is to be in the presence of God and to commune with Him. And so David desired to be in the presence of God, but he was far away from the temple in Jerusalem. In his depressive mood, he lamented, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me?" And you read on in verse 6, "O my God, my soul is cast down within me." And then we read in verse 9, "Why art thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppressive of the enemy?" And then again in verse 11, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me?" From here we can see how depressed David was. And it was not easy for him. And then we have Elijah, the great prophet of God who killed 450 false prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, feared Jezebel and fled from her, crying in 1 Kings 19:4, "O Lord, take away my life." He was so downhearted, he was so depressed that he cried out to the Lord, "Oh Lord, take away my life." Then he had a wonderful victory on Mount Carmel. And why did he cry to the Lord, "Take away my life"? And then we have Jonah, a runaway missionary, having preached to the people of Nineveh and seen them repent from their sins, said in Jonah 4:3, "O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." It is interesting that people coming to know the Lord, he should be happy. But why was he so depressed and asked God to take away his life? And then we have Jesus. Now, you know that Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. And here we read when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew chapter 26, praying for the will of the Lord to be done in his life. And if you were to read that passage, he was really intense in his prayer. And from here we see that he exhibited his humanity by strong crying, as we read in Hebrews 5:7, by strong crying and tears to his Father. And in Matthew chapter 26, verse 38, said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death," even unto death. Can you see or can you feel the intensity of our Lord at that moment of time? Lord, he prayed three times. "Lord, if it is possible, remove this cup of suffering from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." There are not only many depressed and dejected Christians in the congregation, but there are also many preachers and teachers of God's word in the Church of Jesus Christ. If you were to ask your pastor, "Have you ever experienced depression?" and you can be sure that he His answer is yes. Now, let me just give you one or two examples. Samuel Logan Brangle was one of them. He was a great saint of the Salvation Army. In a letter, he wrote, "My nerves were wrecked, exhausted, and such gloom and depression fell upon me as I have never known. Although depression is an old acquaintance of mine." Great preachers of God's word often experience depression. I did many times, especially after preaching the word. I hope today it will not happen to me. Spurgeon, C.H. Spurgeon, had a big congregation, 10,000 members. On June 7, 1891, a large crowd filled the music hall in Sarah Garden. As he prayed aloud, someone shouted, "Fire! Fire!" The balcony was about to collapse. Panicking people surged toward the exit. 7 people were trampled to death. Dozens more were badly injured and taken to a local hospital. Spurgeon collapsed, inconsolable. He had to be carried from the pulpit. He fell into such deep depression that he later said he doubted anyone had ever passed as close to madness as he and yet escaped with sanity. Some people say Spurgeon never got over the horror of that event. Spurgeon, a great man of God, if you were to read his autobiography, he was a man of depression. Well, depression is a sign, is a sickness. Some people get over it in a short time. Others take a little longer, but for some people, it prolongs indefinitely, and eventually it leads to suicidal tendencies, and that's tragic. What are some signs of depression? Depression comes in many forms, and let me share with you 7 symptoms of depression. First, a person who is depressed and dejected has a miserable countenance. Straight away, you know that this person is having a bad time. He looked troubled, worried, melancholic, inactive, moody, unfriendly, and unhappy. Well, one good example was Nehemiah. When he heard from his brethren the tragic situation in Jerusalem, you read in Nehemiah chapter 1, he sat down, the Bible tells us, he sat down and wept and mourned for days while he was serving wine to the king. The king noticed his sadness. He could not hide his sadness. Nehemiah was depressed after hearing the sad news in Jerusalem. How Jerusalem was burned with fire and so forth, completely destroyed by the Babylonian. David was another good example. When David, we read in 1 Samuel chapter 30, and his men came to the city of Ziklag. They found the city was burned with fire, and their family members were captured alive. David was greatly distressed because the people were bitter against him and spoke of stoning him. If people go against you and threaten to stone you or to kill you, you feel depressed. But David, he knew how to encourage himself. If you were to read 1 Samuel chapter 30, David knew how to deliver himself from depression. He strengthened himself. He encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. So a person who is depressed and dejected has a miserable countenance. And second, depression either brings a loss of appetite or a trouble of overeating. Some do not feel like eating. Others overeat and suffer severe health problems. Some time ago, I was speaking to a doctor who worked at IMH. And she told me that many young people, students, professionals, ended up in Woodbridge Hospital. Many of them, because of the pressures of life, the stress of life, ended up in that hospital, taking medication, depressed. Many of them were depressed. Well, again, Nehemiah was a good example. You read in Nehemiah chapter 1, he did not eat for days. After hearing the tragic situation in Jerusalem, he did not eat for days. And he fasted, the Bible tells us. He fasted, meaning he had no appetite to eat. Well, it is very true that when we heard of something bad, immediately we lose our appetite. We don't want to eat. We become worried about the situation. What if this happened? What if that, happened? Immediately we lose our appetite. And then third, tears are a common symptom of depression. And David knew it well. He said in verse 3 of Psalm 42, "My tears have been my meat day and night." David's tears had become his meat day and night. Unable to stop crying, he fed on despair that led to further depression. Some time ago, I was ministering or counseling to a dear sister, and she kept excusing herself for being tearful. Well, this is a clear sign of depression. Clear sign of depression. And then fourth, every bout of depression is an attempt to get us to distrust God. Our focus becomes blurred. We begin to question God's faithfulness, love, concern, and care. We are unable to appreciate His magnanimities. And one of the common complaints of a depressed person is, nobody cares for me. Nobody loves me anymore. Watch out for these symptoms. And fifth, a depressed person is unable to make good decisions. He does not have the ability to reason well. Everything is murky to him. A depressed person is a doubtful person. He is unstable in all his ways. So never get a depressed person to make a decision. He is not able to. He is not able to see things in the right perspective. He is not able to think clearly. or reason with you intelligently because of his depressive mood. And fifth, a depressed person is unable to make good decisions. He does not have the ability to reason well. Number six, a sleeplessness is a common symptom of depression. Physically, he is tired, but mentally, he is highly alert. He keeps thinking of the situation. He begins to blame himself. He becomes inward-looking. He becomes ineffective. He cannot function normally. And these are some of the symptoms of depression. And I think it is good for us to check ourselves. If you ever have such symptoms, this could be the signs of a depression. Now, is depression a sign of spiritual failure? Well, not necessary. Not necessary. Some of the greatest depressions came as emotional letdowns following certain successes. What happened to the lion-hearted Elijah after that greatest moment in his life on Mount Carmel? He defeated 450 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. He was victorious. But then, what happened to him? Why should he be so depressed by Jezebel's threat? Run away from a woman. Why did he run? Or rather, where did he run to? Well, we read in 1 Kings, we find him sitting alone under a juniper tree, lamenting and asking God to take his life away. He was alone. He was alone there, crying. He was full of self-pity. But that's what happened to Elijah. And depression seems to be nature's emotional kickback or nature's recoil. C.S. Lewis calls it the law of undulation, wavy movement in the human personality. Like a wave, it comes and goes. So depression is not necessarily a sign of spiritual failure. As I said, that many preachers of the word, teachers of the word, at one moment, they feel that they had preached a wonderful message, a powerful message. And that message revived many souls in the congregation. And the next thing you see him depressed. Next thing you see him crying to the Lord. Why am I like this? What happened? And I'm sure that many preachers experience it. Now, depression occurs for a variety of reasons. During a serious medical illness, if you have cancer, I've been ministering to cancer patients for many years, and many of them are deeply depressed. We have one of our elders who, or rather two of them are cancer patients, and yet they are so joyous. Despite their illness, you can see the joy of service in their lives. But I also met people who are really down to heel, so depressed, hardly praise the Lord. A lot of doubts, a lot of struggle, you know, within them. So having a serious medical illness could be one of the reasons of a depression, to depressions. And then overwhelmed with sadness and loneliness for no known reasons. Some people just do not know why they are depressed. They're just down to here. No explanation. The death of a loved one, where people, especially the older folks in our church, whose beloved had gone home to be with the Lord, and for some of them, for years, they could not take it. For years, they are still there in a depressive mood. For years, keep telling me that, why didn't the Lord take me home? I'm such a useless person on earth. Why don't the Lord take me home? Midlife crisis is one of the causes. A move to a new environment, especially for the old folks. If you move them to a nursing home, some of them may get depressed and die soon. A family history of depression, improper diet, lack of exercise, and lack of sleep, broken relationships. Marital problems, career failure, loss of job, or financial problems, and many more are the causes of depression. Therefore, we must not be too quick to counsel those who are suffering from depression. But we can deal with it. We must have an understanding of it. Is it physical? Is it spiritual? Is it mental? Is it social? We cannot jump into it and say that this depression is caused by, you know, spiritual or something like that. But unfortunately, some of our well-meaning Christian friends, out of a kind heart, and who have little knowledge of it, try to counsel depressed brethren and unwittingly offer unwise and unrealistic advice that add to the woes. For that reason, let us not hasten ourselves to it, but let us equip ourselves first before we reach out to brethren who are downhearted and depressed with good counsel from the Word of God. So we need to know, first of all, the cause of depression, whether is it spiritual, physical, social, mental. And then we need God's wisdom to help us to know how to reach out to such people. And not to jump the gun, not to have a conclusion that so-and-so is suffering of a depression because of this. We need to be very careful lest we give the wrong counsel. Depression can come from the guilt of sin, unknown disobedience or transgression. A good example was King David. He was deeply depressed. We read in Psalm 38. Here the psalmist said, "There is no soundness in my flesh." That means no health in my flesh. "Because of thy anger." God is angry with sinners. "Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin." If we were to read Psalm 32, about his confession of his sin of murder and adultery, you will know. So here it says that neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds sting and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bound down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Can you see the situation here? David, sin is his cause of depression. And of course, sin may lead to depression, but not all depressions. All right, but all depression does not come from sin. If a person is depressed, that's why I said that we need to study and analyze it properly. If not, then we jump the gun and say that because of your sin. It's just like one certain churches, many of them go for healing, and they are not healed. Immediately the healer will say to that person, because of your sin, because you have no faith. So sin may lead to depression, but all depression does not come from sin. So we need God's wisdom to be a good counselor to those who are depressed. Now let us consider very briefly how to overcome depression. Can depression be overcome? Well, the answer is a resounding yes. And let me just share with you 7 remedies to depression. First of all, be thankful to God for the trials of your life. Be thankful to God for whatever that God allows to come along your way. Sometimes our prayer brings no relief. We seem to have lost the spirit of prayer. However, as we begin to thank God for our trials, it begins to turn into blessing. Well, we read in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. Not for everything give thanks, in everything give thanks. For this is the word of God concerning you, which is in Christ Jesus. So whether it is good or bad, give thanks to the Lord. And Paul, who wrote this verse, he himself also practiced it. Remember, you read in Acts chapter 16, because of the preaching of the gospel, he was arrested. He and Cyrus were arrested. And at midnight, you read that in verse 25, they praise God, they worship God. When he wrote to the Philippian Christians, we read in Philippians 4:4, you all know this verse, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. He did not write this in a 5-star hotel. He was in prison. And he wrote it. And he encouraged the brethren to rejoice always, not sometime, not periodically, not occasionally, but always. Though the light begins to glimmer, but it will soon break through the gloom. The depression passes away. Life becomes beautiful and desirable again. There's a saying, every cloud has a silver lining. We may be going through the dark tunnels of depression, but there is always light at the end of the tunnel. Therefore, be encouraged, do not give up. Keep praying, keep praising the Lord. And that's what happened to David. A couple of times he said that, "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health or health of my countenance and my God." And two, avoid being alone. When you are depressed, you don't want to be around people. You want to withdraw. Withdrawal syndrome. But withdrawing means isolation. And isolation during depression means alienation. Now you need to force yourselves to be with people. You cannot be alone. And by the way, there's no lone ranger, no Christian. If you were to read the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, let me read these verses to you. Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25. You know all these verses? And let us consider one another. If you were to look into the New Testament, there are many, many times that phrase, one another, is mentioned. So let us consider one another to provoke, to stimulate, to stir, unto love and to good works. And then verse 25 says that not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So here is a clear teaching that we should not be alone. We should join a fellowship group. We should call up fellow Christians. We should come together to share, to encourage one another. And I'm sure that in the church today, we have many who are going through a tough time. And God wants us to go and reach out to these people. And if you are sensitive to the prompting of the Spirit, He will show you. And you should take the initiative, the first step to go. Hey, brother, or hey, sister, can we have tea fellowship? And in that way, you may help a person. You may lift up the spirit of that depressed person. So if you are going through depression, do not stay alone. You need to make an effort to call a friend. Don't spend all your time watching TV. Don't spend all your time just like one member in our church, looking at the four walls every day, thinking all kinds of things. But call, and I thank God that there are sisters who call her to encourage her. So remember, do not be alone. Don't walk alone. You have brothers and sisters with you. They will rally together to pray for you, to uphold you in prayer, to encourage you, and just to be with you. And third, seek help from godly Christians. Depression changes a person's whole perspective. All right? Changes a person's whole perspective. And his view of God changes. A little hill becomes a huge mountain. He is extremely sensitive to people's comments. He reacts fast and sometimes irrationally. Have you spoken to a depressed person? And these are some of the characteristics manifest through this person. Irritable, impatient. When you talk to him about God, his whole views of God changes. And that's what happened when I counseled this person, his whole views of God changes because of depression. And it takes a lot of patience to walk with this person. It is not one time or two time. It could be months, it could be years to help a depressed person to come out of that valley of darkness. So he needs godly Christians to help him see things in bigger pictures and give him godly advice. And for those who are mature in the Christian faith, you should reach out to those who are going through much struggling. In that way, the church will grow, the church will be strengthened as one. And then fourthly, sing and make music. Music is second to theology, said Martin Luther. Music is second to theology. Now, I'm not talking about loud music, rock and roll, metal rock, or whatever you have today, you know. That will drive you crazy. That will not deliver you from depression. Good Christian music is a good therapy. The beautiful music played by David, remember in 1 Samuel, was able to lift up King Saul's moods of depression. And consequently, he was delivered from depression. So, play good Christian music. And let the word of the hymns of the song minister to your heart. And most of the songs, the hymns that you sing, or we sing, are very biblically based. So, listen to good music. And then fifthly, rest confidently in the presence of God. Here lies David's secrets of deliverance from depression. Well, we read in Psalm 42, verse 5, and Psalm 43, verse 5. He encouraged himself, "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Hope thou in God. Despite his depression, he continued to hope in God. He continued to place his confidence in God. Jeremiah said, The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Waiting upon the Lord to come to deliver you. And by the way, if we believe in the sovereignty of God, you know that God is in control of every circumstance, every situation. If you believe in the sovereignty of God, you know that he allowed certain things to come along your way for a purpose. To mold you, to shape you, to conform you, to be like Christ. And that is why Romans 8:28 says that all things, good or bad, all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. And that is why it is important to have a clear view of God and know the word and submit to the word. And when you're out of depression, and as you look back, you will know why God allowed all this to come along your way in order to strengthen you, to help you, and so forth. So seeking God's face means coming into his holy presence. Do that. It's just like you read in Psalm 73. These men complain all the time. Why the wicked prospers? And I so love you, why I'm suffering? And then you read in verse 17, the solution is found in verse 17. Until I come into the sanctuary, then realize I the end of the wicked. So if you do not understand anything, why this happened to me, why I'm in this depressive mood, go to the presence of God. Spend time with him. And then he will reveal it to you. And then he will deliver you out of this depressive mood. And then quickly, 6, rely on the word of God. God's word is powerful, it is sharper than any double-edged sword, and it penetrates even to dividing souls and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitude of the heart. The word is able to minister to us during times of depression. Jeremiah said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." And Job, he went through depression, a lot of suffering. But what did Job say? You read in Job 23. Let me read to you Job 23, verse 10. Here we read, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, tested me, I shall come forth as what? Charcoal? As gold." So, the word of God is important. Read it and be ministered by it. The psalmist says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath revived me." Quicken me, revive me. Psalm 119. And Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And finally, rest on God's promises. Charles Spurgeon often suffered depression in his ministry. And here is an account from his faith checkbook entitled "Immortal Till Work Done." Let me share with you very quickly what Charles Spurgeon, how he got out of depression. He quoted Psalm 118, verse 17. "I shall not die, but live and declare the words of the Lord. A fair assurance is this. It was no doubt based upon a promise, inwardly whispered in the psalmist's heart, which he seized upon and enjoyed. Is my case like that of David? Am I depressed because the enemy affronts me? Are there multitudes against me and few on my side? Does the unbelief bid me lie down and die in despair, a defeat, dishonored man? Do my enemies begin to dig my grave? What then? Shall I yield to the whisper of fear and give up the battle, and with it give up all hope? Far from it. There is life in me, yet I shall not die. Vigor will return and remove my weakness. I shall live. The Lord lives, and I shall live also. My mouth shall again be opened. I shall declare the words of Jehovah. Yes, and I shall speak of the present trouble as another instance of the wonder-working faithfulness and love of the Lord my God. Those who would gladly measure me for my coffin had better wait a bit, for the Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Glory be to his name forever. I am immortal till my work is done. Till the Lord wills it, no warts can close upon me." Brothers and sisters in Christ, you will not die. You are immortal till your work on earth is done. This is how Charles Spurgeon overcame depression, by clinging on God's promises. "I shall not die, but live and declare the words of the Lord." How about us? Depression is a common phenomenon among the people of God. Are you depressed? Do not be dismayed. God is still on the throne. He will deliver you in his good time. Look at the 7 remedies again and have confidence in his word. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Yes, in Christ, we are more than conquerors. Do you believe it? Do not hesitate if you are going through a tough time. Call your pastor or leader of the church for help. They are there for you and your welfare. So may the Lord help us as we further consider this topic when you're at home, reflect upon some of the things that you've heard, and look to God for salvation. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word, your eternal word, forever settled in heaven. Your word will give us salvation and deliverance. So help us, O God, to have confidence in your word, in whatever situation that you put us in, knowing that in your appointed time, you will deliver us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.